the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
If you were a father, I am, and you were giving your son some charges or some commands, do it in writing. This is what Paul does with Timothy. I'm just going to do this real quick as an introduction. In chapter 1, verse 18, where we start today, listen to these words. This charge I commit to you. Now, we'll get to what it was, but that's not the last one. Chapter 3, verse 14, he says, these things I write to you, but I hope to come to you shortly, but this I say to you, know how to conduct yourself. Chapter 4, verse 11, he doesn't stop. He continues on. He says, these things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth. Then the fourth one in chapter 5, verse 21, he makes it plain. I charge you before God and the Lord. And he goes on and shares that one. And then the last five charges is in 6:20. Matter of fact, the last part, the last next to the last verse in 1 Timothy. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. This is Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, and I guess by now you know we're in the book of 1 Timothy. It's the first of what is called the pastoral epistles that Paul would write. He wrote these later on in his life. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy is the last letter he wrote. So we're starting out with 1 Timothy, then we're going to go to Titus because he wrote it next, and then we'll finish up with 2 Timothy. Again, Alex, when I get into these pastoral epistles, being a pastor, it really means a lot to me. Not only just it being the Word of God, but also practicality. How should I conduct myself as a minister of the gospel? So these are practical instructions that Paul gives Timothy, aren't they?
Well, they really are. And Bert, it's good to be with you. Great to have everyone listening as we are in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And just all of these verses are so wonderful. Yesterday, we were wrapping up verse 15, where Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, everybody ought to believe it and accept it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he goes on, he obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, Paul knew, he seemed to reference the fact that even after he was gone, the ripple effect of his ministry, and really the ripple effect of all Christians, would result in believers. Now, verse 17 is really special to me, Bert, because it says this, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Bert, did you ever hear a song, and this is kind of an oldie goldie, Walter Chalmers Smith wrote a song, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty Victorious, thy great name we praise. And what inspired him to write that wonderful hymn of the faith back in the 1800s was 1 Timothy 1:17. The King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. I just think virtually every verse in 1 Timothy is a shouting and praising and amen verse, isn't it?
It really is. King, eternal. You remember what it says at the incarnation? Born king, not born to become king. You know, most of the time they're prince and then they become. No, he was born king. And so this is King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, eternal, immortal, invisible. He shows himself to us, and this is what's so important. Jesus took on flesh, and to God alone, who is wise. Again, Christ alone, that's who it is. Be honor and glory for how long, Alex?
Ever.
Forever?
Forever and ever.
Sounds a little bit like, you know, a song that you was referring to earlier, but the Hallelujah Chorus as well.
Yes.
Forever and ever. And that's who we worship even today. And you were talking about verse 16, about he was looking ahead. I love that phrase, who are going to be saved, who are going to believe. That's faith. We believe the word of God going forth will accomplish what it sends it forth to do, what God intends for it to do. People will be saved. And that's why we preach here on Exploring the Word, telling people about Jesus Christ, because there's some people listening, probably today, that need to be born again. That need, would you be one of those of you that are listening, would you be one of those that say, I need Christ. I'm not right with God. I want to get right with him. And I know Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. And all to him I owe. So right now I'm committing myself to him. As I turn away from my sin, I turn to him believing that he died on the cross for me. And I'm asking him to forgive me of my sin. And I'm surrendering myself to him as Lord of my life. I pray you'd do that today. Alex,
amen.
When I read verse 17, I want to get saved all over again. I just tell you, that's how great God is, brother.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, in verse 18, my translation reads, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, the word charge in verse 18, which is also rendered a responsibility or an assignment. Bert, what is your translation?
Mine is a charge. I looked it up, and I really do believe that's the best word to translate it, Alex. I looked at the alternatives, but it's a charge. I charge you. What a word that is. Go ahead.
Well, what does the word angel mean? What is an angel?
Messenger.
Really? A messenger, that's right, a sent one with a message. Well, this word here, this charge or, you know, assignment or commission is a word that is a variation of the word angel. Now, we're not angels. A saved sinner is a redeemed part of the body of Christ, but it's, P-A-R-A, para, which means like alongside. In other words, with the very same seriousness that God's angels are sent with messages and assignments and duties, in a similar way, literally the word, this charge, just like the angels, we have an assignment. We are God's sent ones. We are his messengers. And, we're not serving there around the throne in heaven yet. And we're not going to turn into angels. When people pass away, they do not become angels. But we are the messengers with the same seriousness and gravity that an angel sent from the throne room of heaven would have.
Amen. Now, I love that verse because it's talking about Timothy. He says, I give you this charge. I give you this commandment. I give you this message to deliver. It says to Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. When I read Acts 16 concerning that, when again Timothy joined him, he was well spoken of those where he was come from. He was well spoken of the believers. And he had a Jewish mom, a Gentile father, and we know his grandmother was Lois. This is the way you can remember it, L-E-T, Lois, Eunice, and Timothy. So you can remember it, L-E-T, that way, let. But I love that it says that by them you may wage the good warfare. He was sent off right. Now, this is what you need to do. Timothy was sent off right from his home church, raised right in the home, because it says later on in 2 Timothy that was taught to you by your mother and your grandmother. And then he was with Paul, continued in this, and it was a whole life full. Now, he had difficulties. He said, take a little wine for your stomach steak. He had some things. Sounded like he was had some anxiety. And so here it is. I charge you, even though we have weaknesses, Alex, and even though we may have started right, be in good shape, we still need to work at keeping what God has given to us. We don't need to relax and say, okay, I've come this far now. I need to, you know, take a time off and just live for myself. No, we've been bought with a price, haven't we?
Well, we really have. And, you know, the prophecies in verse 18 made over Timothy. I don't think this is like the prophecies of Isaiah and Daniel or Ezekiel, but I will say this. We've all had people, I'm sure you've had people pray over you and look to you. Now, yeah, people give you a blessing. And Bert, haven't you prayed not just in maybe an ordination or a commissioning service, but prayed over some young person and, you know, pronounced a blessing of God on their life and stay with the stuff? I remember, you know, so far back when Angie and I first got married and we were coming out of Macedonia and we were going to go to Liberty University, and then you blink and, you know, 30 plus years has gone by. But I remember people that prayed over us and they said, go do good for Jesus. You want to honor that. You know, let me just say, folks, Satan has all kinds of ways he's going to try to discourage you, tempt you. But look, all of us are where we are because somebody believed in us and somebody invested in us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody did the best they could to send us off with a blessing. And just as Timothy, you know, Paul is saying, look, I'm giving you a charge. Keep, uphold your end of the deal, young man. I think that speaks to all of us, don't you, Bert?
I really do, Alex. I just talking about yourself, I remember when I went forward in my home church, Wheeler Baptist Church here in Northeast Mississippi, a real small church. And I said, God is calling me to preach. And the number of people that came by and encouraged me, and they said, we knew it all along. And they said, we'd been praying for you before you've done this. And, man, what a charge. It's a charge to keep. That's the whole idea. And so we're saying that on Exploring the Word. This program was started to just share the Word of God, share the gospel, that people would know the truth and let that truth set them free as they follow Christ. That's the charge that's been given to Alex and myself concerning Exploring the Word. It's not an interview program, although we do get to do interviews ever so often, but listen what we do. Open the Word of God and let the Word of God speak. So, Alex, I'd say the charge that was given to Timothy is similarly to the charge that's been given to us as well.
Well, and we might often say, well, you know, don't bail out. Don't fall into sin. Don't wreck your testimony because you don't want to dishonor the Lord. And obviously, honoring the Lord and pleasing Jesus is the number one thing in life, obviously. But we don't want to dishonor those that invested in
Amen.
Us.
Amen. Good word. Alex, thank you, Father,
your
for
parents,
reminding me.
Your church body, I don't care who you are. You know, right now, many churches, maybe even this Sunday, will pray over the graduates before they go away to college. Young people, when you get away from home and you're unsupervised, hey, remember who you are and who's back home praying for you.
We're going to come back and we're going to look at 19. Says having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. You don't want to reject it. As Alex said, stay with the stuff. We'll be back right after this break. I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in the clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible? But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. and they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Oh boy, singing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. You know,
the Christian faith has a lot to sing about. Praise God, glory to God for his love and goodness, and also how we rejoice in his word. Well, this is Alex and Bert exploring the word. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I know Paul was writing the words the Holy Spirit gave him, but I got to say the Apostle Paul was a really great writer, very inspiring. So he's encouraging Timothy, and 19 and 20, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Bert, the word shipwreck there, what is your translation?
It is shipwreck. It is shipwreck. And it is, know, a nautical term, and he uses it quite a bit. Remember, I'll throw it back to you, he knew what a shipwreck was. When he wrote this. Go ahead, Alex.
But he did, and it is a nautical term, and it means like to run it into the ground. And I've heard people say, you know, well, so and so, they ran that into the ground. I mean, to navigate into a place of destruction. And that's what people do when they revert back to their sinful ways, you know? So Paul is saying, look, hold the faith, that's sound doctrine, a good conscience, righteous living, not only true doctrine, but godly living. And he has a couple there that he names that
are examples of the opposite, right?
Examples of the opposite.
Yeah.
And he says, whom I've delivered unto Satan. I think, and Bert, there's been much speculation about what all that means, but sometimes you have to go and let people hit bottom, don't you?
You really do. I do believe they were within the church, because it's talking about having faith and good conscience. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about something like that, about the man that was a leader in the church living an immoral life and bragging about it and talking about, oh, God permits this, and the church was going along. And Paul said, no. Turn him over, you know, don't do this. Let Satan, and I think it goes back to what Peter was said by Jesus, sift you, as Satan. He's going to sift you as wheat. And so turn it, let it be sifted to see if they'll turn around and come back. And as long as you're propping them up, they're going to remain in their sin. They're going to remain that. But if you turn them loose, there's a time to turn them loose and let them do, so that they can be the prodigal son, come to himself and say, I will return to my father. So, Alex, I believe it has all that in the context.
Well, you know, Hymenaeus is mentioned again in 2 Timothy 2:17, and we get some of the specifics of his apostasy or falling away. Now, Alexander here that's mentioned in 1 Timothy 1:20, I can't really find a complete, you know, unpacking of what he did.
But well, there's several Alexanders. You know, the reason there's more than one, not as common as I would say James or Simon's, but Alexander, there was more than one.
Well, of this Hymenaeus in 2 Timothy 1:18, it says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And it says that he, in 2 Timothy 2:16, 17, and this was part of Hymenaeus' problem, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And so, and we'll get there, but here in this 1 Timothy 1:20, they turned away from the gospel to vain babblings, saying things like the resurrection from the dead has already passed, and it hasn't. But it's a warning to hold fast to truth, not only God's revealed truth, but honest, righteous, godly living.
And Paul calls that blasphemy, you know,
to betray those things.
Yeah. And so stay with Christ. That's the whole idea. Stay with it living, stay with it preaching, stay with it all the way.
You know, we've done the National Day of Prayer for, I don't know, 20 years, I suppose, Bert. The first Thursday of May, I believe it is National Day of Prayer. And I've spoken many places on those days. And every now and then, some fellow minister will say, Alex McFarland, why are you so pray for America, save America, revive America? Don't you know that our home is in heaven? Well, along that sentiment, let's listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's what Paul says about our citizenship. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Bert, as I read 1 Timothy 2, really 1 through 3, especially verse 2, praying for kings and those in authority. You know, we don't have kings. We have a president and a cabinet and the House and Senate, and we have governors and we have leaders and we have employers and bosses and parents and teachers. We are to pray for those that are over us, and we are to be respectful to their authority. But this idea of corporate praying for the culture, I think it comes right out of the New Testament.
It really does. And go back to verse 1. He makes it plain. Supplications, prayers, intercessors, and giving thanks. Four aspects of this prayer life. Now, what you do, all four of these should be a part of our prayer life. Supplications for others and for ourselves, and intercessions. We are interceding for others on Tuesdays, the day of prayer. People will call in, they'll say somebody, we intercede for them. And then it says, and giving thanks. Listen, sometimes I think our prayer life is out of balance by not remembering what God has done. One of the things that I've noticed at the church where I'm interim pastor, Ozark Baptist Church, they have a prayer list, but they also put in there answered prayer, and they'll listen to that. I love that, because if all you have is listing prayers, that's good, but people say, well, I don't see any effect of it. Put those in there as well. So Amen. Be thanks and for all men. And when he says that, then I'll put it this way, Alex. I may look at this a little different than you. I think you could put the word even in there with Paul's thoughts. All these prayers be made for all men, even kings.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you catch my drift.
I got you.
You know, because, man, we're bad to complain about those over us, the pastor over us, the governor, the president. No, we pray for them as well, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Well, we do. We should. And folks, if the condition of the country concerns you, well, let's pray about it and let's be an intercessor. And he goes on, he says, that we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, that we pray for and desire a culture most conducive to the spread of the gospel.
That's it.
Verse 3 and 4, I love. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And that's Jesus. That is another reference to the deity of Christ. The word Savior there is soterios. Soteriology is the study of salvation. And so the Savior, the Son of God who died on the cross, is God incarnate. Okay, now in verse 4.
Alex, let me say one real quick word. I know okay. We're going slowly. you've talked about it, I've talked about it, and we talk about our country. Listen, what the United States has done, in next year we'll be 250 years old since 1776. We need to celebrate 250 years.
A quarter millennia.
You bet. What's happened? The freedom and prosperity that the church has been in a country where the freedom was real, prosperity had been realized, and guess what the church has done? And even we need to do more, should have done more, but we've sent more missionaries around the world than any country during that period of time or any other time in history. That is quiet and peaceable. That's what, and you're talking about that the gospel. I think the United States is evidence of that. I use this quite often. I want to use it again. After World War II, there was awesomeness about, man, the church grew. Man, Billy Graham was filling stadiums to hear him. Thousands and millions even were being saved. Over in China, where you had no freedom, we didn't know what was taking place. But the underground church was at work. And even when President Nixon went over there years ago and they found out there was a lot of believers there in China because of the mission work that had been done there, Hudson Taylor and all the others that had been there before, the church thrived even under persecution and underground. But where did missions thrive during that period of time, Alex? China, yes, they grew. But who in the United States? They grew. But guess which ones were sending missionaries around the world? Not the one that had no freedom, but the one that had great freedom. That's the reason we pray for that quiet and peaceable life.
Amen. Amen. We've said it this way, folks. You can do evangelism anywhere, but you can only really do missions in a culture of liberty, freedom, and prosperity, you know. And so we are to pray for America. Verse 4, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is not saying that everybody will get saved, and this is not universalism. But what it's saying is God's will is that all would be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I'm just going to say this. I'm not trying to be controversial, but Bert, I think this is one of the strongest verses that would argue against limited atonement.
Amen, Alex.
That the Lord only died for the elect. No, it is God's will, and really the word will is desires. All God desires that all be saved. Amen. And frankly, all could be, but not all will, because not all will believe on him.
Alex, two things real quickly. You're going to see truth mentioned three times in this passage of Scripture from verse 1 to verse 8, truth. Notice in verse 4 how saved and truth are linked together. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation, the truth of who Jesus Christ is, the truth of what he's done, the truth of where he is. This is so real. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now. So, And God desires this. This is God's desire. He doesn't force it, but his desire. And I can tell you what all means in Greek. It means all. Not yes. Just a select group, but all men.
Verse 5 of chapter 2. Oh, this is so beautiful. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, not some, but all. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the human race, gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And what that word means, their verity is like truthfulness.
Truth.
And honesty.
Yes.
I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Bert, this is powerful. Verse 5, one God, one Savior, one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. In other words, if you leave this world without Jesus, there is no, contingency plan. You either have Jesus or you need Jesus. And that goes for everybody, doesn't it?
It really does. And notice the man, Christ Jesus. Here it is, this great, great connection. God becoming man and dwelling among us. This is the only way he could do it. There was no other way. Jesus prayed in the garden, if there be another way, let this cup of suffering pass from me. And it, notice this. It is the man, Christ Jesus. Alex, only Jesus. There's in Christ alone. That song, we hear it, in Christ alone. That is so true. And so here it is. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. Okay. Does that mean he paid the price? Is that what he meant when he is on the cross and said it is finished?
It is finished, paid in full. And let me just say, this is really powerful. Philosophers use the word necessary, like this is necessary. And the way they mean it, it's not like, it's very, very, very needful. You know, a roof over your head is necessary. You know, food on the table is necessary. It's really more than that. If a theologian says, you know, what Christ did on the cross was necessary, and it was, what they really mean is there was no other way. Because look what God was doing. Okay, humans that God could have a relationship with, but he would not override their free will. The Holy Spirit would beckon and call. God would offer salvation, but he didn't force it. Then in Jesus, fully divine, fully human, not fallen human, he could go to the cross and pay the sin debt of the world, impart his righteousness. It was necessary in the sense there was no other way, but glory to God, he is risen. You can know him. He is the way and the only way.
Amen. We're going to take questions. That phone number, 888-589-8840.
Are you a new small group leader looking for a strong curriculum? Even if you've been a leader for years, there's always a need for tools to help you as you help others deepen their love for God and their Bible knowledge. AFA Stream is a great resource. With topics covering biblical worldview training, godly marriage, and more, you'll have access to some of the best teaching available. And if you're a Great Commission partner, you open up even more. Visit stream.afa.net today. Stream.afa.net.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. And all my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, some of the songs that we bring in to bring back the segments, Alex, I don't know about you, but man, I'm blessed by them, and I love that one. Hey, listen.
I love that song, yeah. Yes.
The number that you can call and ask your question is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Real quickly, we're going to the lines, but Alex, Jan and I are really excited about you and Angie joining us at Pickwick Landing State Park for the Fishbowl Retreat. That's October the 28th, 29th, and 30th. And we're going to be talking about being courageous in a time in your own life and everything. And if you want to be a part of this, and people talk about Bert and Alex being together, we're going to be, but we got the best. Our other halves, which is our better halves, are going to be there as well. Jana be speaking. Matter of fact, she'll open it up. It was her idea. She's the one that came up with the idea of having a ministry to pastors and their wives, and she came up with the idea of the fishbowl ministry, because people look at their pastor, when they go to a store, they look to see what's in the cart, they look to see what kind of car they get in. It's like living in a fishbowl. So Alex, we're excited about you and Angie being with us.
Well, Angie and I are very, very excited to be there. It's going to be great. And I believe the website is Repairing the Foundations, with an S, repairingthefoundations.net. And does memory serve me, will J.J. Jasper be there too?
J.J. will be there. He will be there the first day. And listen, we're there to encourage.
It's going
to
be phenomenal.
Yeah, we're going to laugh. We're going to study. We'll pray. We got a special guest. He's the pastor at First Baptist Church here in Tupelo, Dr. Matt Powell. He's agreed to come and share one session. We're excited about that, what God's doing at First Baptist. They're really touching lives, and he and his wife, man, we're going to hear their story about being courageous when difficulty comes. So wonderful. It's going to be well attended. We still have room. They're growing, and people are signing up. So go ahead and sign up. And you might want to ask your pastor, hey, pastor, would you and your wife like to go? Give them plenty of time so they can make the plans and be there October the 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Well, we're excited about being included. And right now we're going to go to the phone calls. The number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. Mary in Indiana. Mary, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you very much. I have what I think is a big problem, and I would like a prayer request. If you would do that, I know you did it the other day, but there are people who come in and rob my house on a regular basis, and the police have not been able to catch them because they're not stupid enough to stick around. They're gone, but I live out in the country. And the perpetrators are gone before the police get here. It's very exasperating for me because my stuff is disappearing.
Okay. Well, Mary, we'll pray for you on that. Listen, this is what's happening. Let me share, and we'll pray for you. We'll go pretty quick to the next caller, but we're going to pray for you first, Mary. But I believe in 10 years from now, if the Lord hadn't come back, that because of what's happening with Gen Zs, I mean, many of them are being saved. They're doing Bible studies. They're searching the scriptures. Alex can tell you that with all the children, the youth camps he's doing. I've observed it. The revivals that's taking place on many college campuses. When that happens, Satan is also working as well. So lawlessness is in the land, Mary, and it's not just in big cities. It's out in the country as well. So we're going to be praying for her, Mary, aren't we, Alex?
Well, we really are, and I'm going to be praying Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them. And I want to pray right now, if I may. Let's join together. Father God, we thank you that you look after your saints, and that Psalm 34:7 says that the angel of the Lord encamps around the dwelling place of the righteous. I pray for Mary. Father God, protect her. In Jesus' name, I pray there would be no more break-in or theft or vandalism. Lord, we do pray the authorities could intervene and help her. But Lord, you please protect her. And if anybody is coming to rob or break in her house, that they just would be driven away by the power of your Holy Spirit. We lift her up to you. Keep her safe, and all listening as well. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alex.
Okay. Randy in Texas. Randy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask both you gentlemen concerning the first resurrection event, the timeline on it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, speaks of the first resurrection. Now, I'm thinking it's in context of this happened after the tribulation, but right before the thousand-year reign of Christ. So you turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that famous pre-trib verse, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, you know, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That seems to be a physical resurrection. So are there, I only thought there was a first and second resurrection, or could there be more? And is the resurrection in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 the same as Revelation chapter 20, verse 5?
Okay. Go ahead.
Let me weigh in on this.
Yes.
And I'm going to hold up something that officially doesn't exist until October 7th. and that's 100 Bible Questions on Prophecy and the End Times by Reverend Bert Harper and Alex. And this, we address this, and Bert, you feel free to disagree. Okay, a key word in Revelation 20, verse 5 says, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection." So here's the thing. Whenever you see the phrase, the first resurrection, it refers to the dead in Christ that get a glorified body. Now, some of those got their glorified body at the rapture, and that's the 1 Thessalonians passage. But then many don't get their glorified body till the end of the tribulation. They're tribulation saints. But now, the second resurrection, verse 6 of Revelation 20, the second death has no power. You do not want to be in the second death or the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment of the unsaved masses of humanity. But Bert, believe it or not, as I understand it, this first resurrection, which is the putting on of a glorified body, it's going to happen to different groups of saints at different times, actually.
So what you're talking about is like this, like he has made us like first sons. You know, the whole idea that we are there. It's a position more so than I would say the numerical part. It's a position that we hold. The first resurrection is talking about an event that takes place at different places, but it's getting the glorified body, which is the first resurrection. I think you're right, Alex.
Amen. Thank you for that really good question, Randy. I'm not sure we've actually had that question before, but it's a really good one. Melissa in Tennessee, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your program. I'm calling to ask for a prayer. Some situations came up in my life, and I had to make a drastic move kind of far away from the job I'm at presently, and I have an hour drive to work and an hour drive homework, to, you know, from work to home. And I am thankful, don't get me wrong, that I am thankful that I am able to work and still have a job. But I'm praying that the Lord will open some doors in the community that I'm living in now, and just make a way for me to be closer to my family and not have this long drive every day.
Melissa, listen, there's a lot of folks that, you know, that's not a selfish prayer. That is a prayer, I think, that helps with your frame, your time. Alex, again, you, where you live, you have to fly a lot. So how close you are to an airport really makes a difference in your life and how you use your time, doesn't it?
It really does, sister. I don't think this is insignificant at all. I think it's a very valid prayer request. And some of us that have done our share of commuting, I can relate. And Bert, would you pray for this dear lady as she seeks employment that's more convenient to where she lives?
Father, I thank you for Melissa calling. I thank you for her being able to call and listen. And man, what a joy it is to pray for a sister who loves you, who desires to serve you, spend time with her family, so that how important that is, Father, that we can pass on the faith. So we're asking that you'd open up those doors as you see fit in your time, so Melissa could have this better time of her life spent studying whatever it is, serving, rather than on the road. So, Father, we pray this and ask this and believe this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to go to Dennis in a VA hospital in Mississippi. Dennis, do I have that right? Are you in the Veterans Hospital?
Well, I had a reaction. I don't know if you're familiar. I had a UTI reaction. Then it turned into a thing affecting my skin, like skin cancer. Not skin cancer, but a skin disease that could have been fatal. But the Lord intervened. It was not the fatal one. It did put me in the hospital with sores and blisters and things all over. And I'm back at the VA where I was going to a school for the blind. And it's been an experience. And it's, you know, I thank the good Lord that he got me through it, the good nurses and doctors here. And I'm grateful for that. I want to try to finish the school. I'm praying my PO, because I'm an ex-con, will allow me to finish the school. I don't know the answer, but now that's not my question. But my situation is, yes, I'm an ex-con. I've been out of prison. I rededicated my life to the Lord 8 years ago before I went to prison, and I try to do my best with the God's help to overcome those areas and to walk faithfully with the Lord and reading and all. But I have handicaps like vision and legally blind. So that's, but one of the areas that I made up my mind to, and I was going to tithe, no matter what, I'm going to tithe. And I do tithe. I don't know how much money I give. I just set up the accounts and go. But I've been having thoughts about who am I, how do I give? Who do I give to? I give to my ex-church. No, I can't go back to church. My PO won't let me. But I give to them, I give to AFR, Bot Radio. I mean, there's just so many others. But sometimes I get all these calls from ministries wanting, and they're good calls, and I don't want to turn them down. But I don't know, can you go overboard?
Dennis, thank you, brother. Hey, I'm cutting so we can pray for you. We want to pray for your situation. But, Alex, a lot of time tithing. I believe you tithe where and how you're being blessed at a local church, yes, and it can be a ministry as well, mm-hmm. a part of it as well. So, Dennis, I think you're good. I think you just seek the Lord, follow him, let him lead you, and you can't meet every need, but you can meet some. Those that have blessed and you want to increase, I think you should. But we want to pray for you, Dennis. Alex, you and I get letters from people incarcerated, and we also get letters from those that were incarcerated and now they're free. We're praying that God would use them and bless them, don't we?
We really are. And let me just say this, and I know we've got another call, but Bert, when I was a young Christian, I would get things in the mail. I sent some money to Billy Graham, and I sent some money to Liberty University even before I ever went there. But I would get all these solicitations, and they made me feel so bad because I couldn't give to everything, and then I was really almost obsessive. If I don't send something, what if somebody would be lost and I could have done something? And Bert, finally, I read where Paul said, "Give as you've purposed in your heart," and I just said, "Lord, I'm going to give where I feel led." And the 500 other appeals that I get that I just can't possibly do, I'm going to have to let you deal with that. So let me just say, Dennis, I think I can hear your heart, brother. You're certainly a dedicated believer. I have to be careful how I say this. Do what God leads you to do.
Amen.
But give yourself permission not to worry or obsess about things you can't do. Every one of us can do something, but none of us can do everything. You see what I'm saying, Bert?
That's exactly right. And Dennis, set free from that. You're not in bondage. And so don't get into bondage. Bill in Ohio. Go ahead, Bill. We don't have a lot of time.
Bert, can you hit that one for
me? No, it's open. It's open.
Yep.
Go ahead, Bill. Y'all?
Got a quick question. A skeptic might ask. Hebrews 13:8, I believe it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. As a skeptic might say, well, what about the incarnation when Jesus became man? Is that a change? Is that a possible contradiction?
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Go ahead, Alex, real quick.
I'm going to tie that to Malachi 3, where it says, "I, the Lord, change not." It doesn't mean that God doesn't act in different ways, but what it does mean is in his nature, his immutable, eternal nature, he doesn't change. And yes, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why it also says in verse 5 that he would never leave us or forsake us. But does he act in various different ways to reach the human race? He does act differently, but in his nature, He is everlasting and eternal.
He is holy and is loving, no matter in the garden or at the end of the time of millennial. He is that nature. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Pray for Dennis. Ask God to do a great work in his life. And we'll see you back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.